You're listening to 93.3 WMMR. It is Marcus, and on the phone with me is Jay Buchanan, lead vocalist of Rival Sons. He is here to talk about A Pair of Aces, two amazing Saturday nights that are happening in June, live online from Catalina Island off the coast of California. They will be playing Before the Fire in its entirety on the 19th, as well as a choice selection of songs. And then the following Saturday, the 26th, Rival Sons will be playing their self-titled record in its entirety, as well as a choice selection of songs. Jay, how did this fantastic idea come to be, and was it a long time to plan?
It was a long time to plan. First of all, before we get into this, it's good to talk to you, and it's good to be able to communicate with everyone out there. We're definitely looking forward to coming and playing for you guys as soon as possible.
We can't wait to have you.
Now, getting on to Catalina, we had been wanting to put together a live stream basically through the entire year of 2020. You know, it was interesting for everybody, to everyone to say the least. But we were looking at how we could put things together in such a way that A, we would be able to provide the audio and like the experience that our audience is used to, as well as the energy. And so playing with no audience, well, of course we can do that. Because I think that Rival Sons really, in the end, I think that with us on stage, that we end up playing for each other. And I think that that's part of what creates the energy. But there were different ways, you know, we were given different opportunities to try to do a live stream for our audience. But it never really worked out, because it would, I think, you know, it would be so expensive to put together. And then we'd look at that and it's like, I don't want that overhead to be passed on to our audience, bringing our crew in and getting the whole band together, because we all live in different parts of the world. But we were able to finally put things together in such a way that we were able to make it happen. Now, as far as the location goes, I had scoured Long Beach for the right location. Unfortunately, you know, we wanted to do it on the Queen Mary, but unfortunately, like, the Queen Mary is not doing well right now. Mm. And the future of the ship, that great ship, it's the flagship of our harbor in Long Beach, its future is questionable. So we had to look elsewhere. And really, Catalina Island, I thought it would never happen. You know, I was talking to management and said, you know, I've always wanted to play the casino on Catalina Island. From the time I was a little kid, the first time I ever went there, it seemed like such a mystical place. And the structure and the architecture doesn't look like anywhere else. And I always thought that would just be the coolest. And so I thought it was a pipe dream when I said, hey, can you see if the casino in Catalina Island is available? And they came back a couple of days later, says, I think we might be able to do this. I was really excited, but, you know, I think that being in this industry, you get used to disappointment really early on. So I was thinking, like, well, we'll see if it actually happens. And right up until when we got the production company involved in everything, we knew we were going to make it work. That's when I let myself get excited about it. But it was a really good time.
Also, people can still buy tickets to watch this stream, correct? It hasn't sold out and there's no cap.
Oh, tickets are still available. I don't know that there's a ceiling.
You've been practicing and getting ready for this show for the last couple of weeks. Will any of your traditional songs be arranged a little differently during this performance?
Oh, well, for us, you know, what it really is these performances, they've actually already taken place. We went to Catalina. We recorded these. We couldn't do things. We couldn't do this in an absolutely like live television situation. So we had to go there and we just recorded a live show. And then it's being mixed right now. It's all completely live. You know, it's legitimate. The logistics of trying to get over there and make it a truly live thing, what that would have done is it would have sacrificed the production value of the show and the audio. It just wouldn't have been up to our standard. So we went there and we recorded everything, just set the lights up. It looks really great. I haven't seen any film or anything yet, but we had it done right. And the audio to everything just turned out great. And I'm really excited because it's definitely live. You know, you're going to hear all of the mishaps and then all of the, are they going to make it? Is the train about to go off the tracks? You know, those things that are indicative of a Rival Sun show, it's all there.
Awesome. I know I'm looking forward to it, and I've seen a lot of chatter online and people that are in a lot of the Rival Sons global groups are very much anticipating these two big shows, and hearing people talk about the merchandise and like the vinyl purchases and the sweatshirt and the t-shirt purchases with it is pretty exciting too, because with everything lifting in the pandemic, that live music vibe is starting to come back, and to have this for people, I think, is a big step forward.
I agree with you, man. This last year, it's almost too big of a nut to just try to even crack, you know, because there's so much involved with the loss. And then, you know, you have the loss, and then you have all everything that you lost in this last year. And then you have all of these other things that you gained, you know, the introspection and the pause button that was hit. It's tough to quantify it and just try to wrap it up in a couple of sentences, but it's been a really wild ride. So the prospect of everything opening up and us being able to hit the road again and me being able to see our audience and to interact with everyone and share that space and share that great energy every night, man, if I ever took it for granted, I definitely won't now, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of this last year, how has the band grown together during this last year?
I just separately. It's like everyone is in their disparate positions, you know, geographically and, you know, personally. Everybody has their families and their hobbies. And I have all of the different work and all of the different projects that I've been working on in this last year, and then in producing and writing and all of this other stuff. And then, you know, Scott has been, he produced a couple of local bands here. And so that's been fun for him. I think everyone's just been doing their own thing. But also, you know, Scott and I've been communicating a lot because we've been writing and working on putting together this next record. I think that instead of getting closer, I think that really just the pause button was hit. We all keep in contact, but we're used to being around each other every day, all day. So hitting the pause button, I think, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I think I miss the band. I think we might miss each other, you know, which is funny for how much time we spend together. But really, you know, I miss our regular rhythm and being together. And I miss our crew, you know, really bad. Very dear to us.
I've met some of your crew at some of your shows, and you've got some great people around you.
We've got the best.
Aspects.
It's the best
Seriously.
Crew. You know, we handpicked everybody over the trial and error of through the years. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say we have, you know, people that didn't turn into permanent fixtures weren't great people, because there have been great people that have come through our camp. But the people we have now, we're very, very thankful for their services and just their personalities and just having them around. So, so there's all of that, but we miss the audience. We miss the interaction, you know, like I said, sharing that energy and sharing that space together every night.
I'm sure in some ways it gets addictive to want to go out and perform and to continue to do your art. And I don't know if addictive is the right word, but you get that hankering or that wanton or that will to go out and perform your art for people. And I'm sure being able to get back into it has changed your energy a little bit.
Yeah, dude, you're getting metaphysical.
I'm sorry, bongosophical.
No, you're really starting to light me up. This is my language, man. Listen, the idea of addiction with performing live and all of that, you know, I wouldn't know if it's an addiction or not, because it's never, until this year, it's never been taken away from me. So there's never been any reason for it to feel the withdrawal symptoms. But it's kind of like, you know, what, like, are horses addicted to grass? Like, I don't know. It's always there for them. Like, that's what they eat. But if you take it away, are they going to miss the grass? They're going to be like, sure miss that grass. I must be addicted. But it's like, we're musicians and performers, so performing is what we do. Having that taken away has really been a wild ride, because you realize that the performance and the interaction and having the privilege to just be on stage performing music and to be delivering music every day, it's like it's such an experience. Mm. When it's taken away from you, you realize that it was such a valuable, like, protein, an emotional protein in your everyday social diet, you know? So when that was taken out, it was like, oh man, I think, maybe I need to go see a therapist or something like that, because I'm so used to just screaming my lungs out and like getting everything out every night. And then suddenly that's taken away. And then I'm just with my family, just being chipper all day. It's just, you know, it's very different.
Again, I'm sure you learned a lot during this time, especially about yourself and being able to connect with your wife and your family on a whole new level. It had to have been wonderful in that way.
Oh, there is no doubt. This year has been incredible. It's been incredible. I moved my family from Tennessee. We moved back to Southern California. So I'm out in LA now. And, you know, that was a huge move because we had another baby back in October. And so we wanted to raise him while we still have the good fortune of having all of his grandparents are alive and well and still with us. And so you got to keep your family together if you can.
Absolutely.
You know, if you can make it work. But this has been a huge year, and working on this next record for Rival Sons, it's been a great year with all of its hardships.
Good. I'm glad that positive has come out of it, because as we've seen through the media, there's been a lot of negatives. So to see positive and to hear positive definitely helps, especially during these times.
I think, you know, for me and for us, you know, at our house, it's a conscious decision to accentuate the positive, you know.
Absolutely.
Eliminate the negative, and as what's the next line of that song? And don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Yep. Speaking of songs, you mentioned the fact that you've been doing some recording with Rival Sons so far. How many sessions have you done so far, and how many more sessions are you planning on doing before you complete the album to get it ready for a release at the end of this year or in early 2022?
You know, we're just taking our time with this record. I think that this year has taught us it's okay to slow down. It's okay to slow down and take your time. I feel like pretty much with this record, it's kind of like we're right in the middle of it. You know, it's definitely a different type of record. We're a different type of band, you know, now than we were when we released the Feral Roots album back in 2019. Like, Feral Roots was a huge left turn compared to our previous efforts, just as the previous record, Hollow Bones, was a sharp left turn.
Oh, yeah.
And so with each one, it's like going further out and denying what we had done before kind of gives us that freedom. If there is any hope of us carving our own path artistically, that's really been the only way that we can do it, you know.
Are you happy with the direction the music has gone so far?
Yeah, you know, on the good days. And then it's just like making any other record. You look at it and you go, that's terrible. Burn it. Burn the whole studio down. Everyone lose my number. You're going to have days like that because, you know, sometimes you're working through true inspiration. And then when the true, like real inspiration isn't there, then you have to rely on perspiration. Then sometimes you get the inspiration from that.
Yeah.
But I think that we're taking our time because we know that there's a very special record being made right now. We're taking our time to make sure that the collection gets the attention that it deserves, you know, that it ends up being the statement that truly reflects where we are as a band.
Cannot wait to hear some of this music. Two questions left. The first one, have you learned to play any new instruments that you have never played before during this time?
I've gotten a little bit better at piano. Or keyboard. I'm not playing piano so much since we moved here. My piano's still out on my carport because I don't have a place for it. But I've been messing around on keyboards a lot more, doing a lot more writing on the keys, which is great because that's never been my instrument. So that's been nice, you know, looking at that new. But otherwise, no. I think that if anything, I've gotten more into a lot of synth music and exploring those sounds, all of the varied Moog tones, and not necessarily in like contemporary electronic music, but more of the classic electronic. So that's been nice. But other than that, no.
Did you pick up any hobbies during the pandemic that were different from anything that you had done before?
Well, yeah, this year I found myself changing a lot more diapers than I had previously. You know, I can't tell you. I think that with hobbies, going back through and listening to, you know, like classical composers and reaching out, it's not as if I'm listening to any music that I've never listened to before, because I'm always searching out like new bands and trying to find something new, you know, go about your day in a different way so that it's different from yesterday was. And so I'll find myself going through days where it's like, okay, I'm only listening to this band today and that's it, you know, because there are a lot of classics out there. Elton John. for one of them. It makes fantastic records. But Elton John was never one that was like in my wheelhouse. You know, that was never like on my turntable all that much. And then I'll have like Elton John Day listening to the arrangements and going like, hot damn. Damn, some of that's really, really good. Really great arrangements. That's a new thing for me. Cool. Just forcing myself to settle into a varied types of music. You know, getting back into listening to film scores or, you know, just different things like throwing yourself into a completely different zone. You know, if somebody were to say, okay, what are your top 100 records of all time? So you make that list. So I'm only allowed to listen to things right now that would not be on that list.
Hey, that's cool. It opens up your mind and it expands. That's awesome.
Yeah, certainly.
Now that you have a newborn son, do the lyrics from the title track to Feral Roots, the song Feral Roots, though your body may grow old, in your mind you must remain a kid, have new meaning?
Well, God, now they do. No, I think that, you know, this is my third that I'll be raising, and my third child here, the second son, though. Now, I think that with children, you know, the entire reasoning of wanting to have another child, you know, at this stage in my life, I love being a father. I like just straight up, I love being a pop. And I became a father at a very, very young age. And so I think that, you know, it's like all of that shaped my early years, certainly my 20s and, you know, those young days when you're supposed to be out raising hell. Thank God I did a lot of hell raising before then. I like being a pop, and I think that it's a good way of keeping your mind young. I think that it's a good way of not getting old and jaded and calcified in your actions and, you know, in your outlook, because life keeps, you know, everything keeps changing and everything is fluid. And having children around you, it gives you a stream to float in that way, you know, for things to constantly change. And one of the things I'd like to mention is how crazy it was for us to go back and reapproach this old material, you know, because the Before the Fire record, that first record, that's really old material for us, you know, and that was like most of that material, we just started playing that because like when we all got together, all of the songs were like pre-Rival Sun songs, but we needed like a promotional tool. We needed songs to play and we needed an album to put into people's hands. And I'm really glad that we did it that way. So I just came in and recorded my vocals over everything they had already recorded. So going back and revisiting those songs, it's like, wow, this like the material that doesn't have that Rival Sun's flair to it for me, you know, because it wasn't us. Rival Sun's didn't make that record, you know. But then when you get to the EP and you definitely feel that sharp turn, the identity is so different on the self-titled EP, you know, because you can take a song from Before the Fire, like a great song, like I Want More, mm-hmm. you know, or
Memphis Sun.
Yeah. Well, Memphis Sun actually sounds probably the most like a Rival Sun song. It's got some grease on it, you know, but like you take these other songs and they really have like kind of a mod psychedelic flair to them. And then you go over to the EP and you have something like Soul or Sleepwalker. And these are almost at the other end of the spectrum. So I think that it was great in particular after having the year off and us not being around each other to come back and approach these old songs, you know, that are so far back in our catalog. I think that there was a sense of nostalgia there for us to go back and reminisce and really look at these old songs through the lens of all of our experience. You know, that was really trippy and that was a great experience for us.
Did you get together as a band and listen to those first two records together and then talk about it?
No. No, we didn't. We did it all separately and then we got together and just started rehearsing. We all know those records, you know. And Dave Besty and Todd, well, those two records are before either of those guys came into the band. So I think that for Miley and Scott and I to look at it, you know, it definitely brought out some of the stories from those early days. The Van years where you're living on Subway sandwiches, you know, and all of that stuff and living in truck stops. And, you know, it definitely brought up some of that old romance, you know, but it's nice to have a larger audience and to be making the type of music we're making now. I think it's such a trip to look back and go, okay, that's who we were at that time. It's like looking at an old photograph of yourself and you go like, oh God, my hair looks so stupid in that picture. God, why would I ever think that shirt was cool? And so, you know, looking back at the early Rival Sons material, you have an element of that. But, you know, those are great records. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily that it makes you cringe. You just go, okay, I was writing about that. I was into that sort of a melody, or whereas the music we're making now fits who we are at this moment.
It's going to be exciting to hear these two records in their entirety, because I'm sure it's been a while since you've played a ton of songs from each of these albums.
There are some tracks that are going to be on these live streams that we've never played live. So yeah, it's really something. And the other cool thing that I'm looking forward to, we started our own record label this year, the Sacred Tongue Recordings. And that Sacred Tongue Recordings is there to handle the distribution of our back catalog, of all of our early records. What our plan is we're going to be releasing both of these performances on vinyl. I'm really excited about that.
Will you also be releasing them on DVD?
You know, we've talked about that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, because, you know, DVDs, I think, are kind of going the way of the dinosaur, in the same way that CDs are. But I think that really, maybe if we put together like a package, like a box set or something, at some point, I don't want to dilute the integrity of the one-time show. This is a show, and people that are paying for that download code or for the link, you get the link for X amount of time or X amount of viewings. I don't want to dilute that. I want it to have that exclusivity and that feeling that it's a thing. You know, it's not just something you can pop in anytime and get tired of it.
I look forward to receiving my copy of this live pair of aces as well, because I know it's going to be a great night of music, and to have it on vinyl too.
Well, yeah, you know, we're pumped. I'm really pumped at the idea of finally being able to release live recordings. People have been hitting us up since we started. When are you going to make a live record? When are you going to make a live record? Here we are, like, damn, 13 years later. And us, it took 13 years and us starting our own label before we would release a live albums, you know, that's what it took. And so we're really stoked to be able to release these on our own label. And then hopefully we can start a trend where, you know, we're releasing more live content in the very same way.
I know your fan base would absolutely love it. Your fan base is very rabid about your live shows, and the fact that you all have worked so hard to make your live shows the best that they can be for the listeners. So I think that the reciprocation is there.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I hope they're pumped. We're pumped about it. I would love to see this grow into a trend for us.
Well, listen, I've taken up plenty of your time. I know you've got to get back to your beautiful little baby and your family and playing some amazing music. So thank you very much for taking time to chat, Jay. It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah, well, you know, of course. And thank you, Marcus. And thanks to WMMR for always taking care of us and supporting Rival Sons, you know, right out of the gate. And it's always a good time to come back and see you guys. And we'll have to come and see you next time at your MMRBQ.
Yes,
WMMRBQ.
Yes, come anytime. We'd love to have you back for the MMRBQ. And we will see you soon. You take care. Hello and hugs to your family. Hello and hugs to everybody in the band. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Take care of yourself.
Take care. Bye. Again, big thanks to Jay Buchanan, vocalist Rival Sons, for giving some of his time to talk about their live stream pair of aces from Catalina Island, the band, the new album, Revisiting Before the Fire, and their self-titled record, Life During the Pandemic, and Becoming a Father Again, and so much more. Don't forget Rival Sons live stream concert, Pair of Aces from Catalina Island on Saturday, June 19th and Saturday, June 26th. They will be performing Before the Fire and their self-titled EPs in their entirety. Get your live stream ticket and merch at rivalsons.veeps.com. 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 Rivalsonsveeps.com. Keep up with the world of rock and roll at WMMR.com, and thank you so much for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.